good to be here, and thankful that I get a chance to come up and share God's Word. So many others could do that, and it is definitely a compliment, Brother Steve asked me. Love this church, appreciate all the folk in it, and all the just very encouraging. They see us a lot on Wednesday night, some do, and come up to our Bible study in Tunnel Hill, and just so thankful for our church. Y'all continue to pray for us. We're about a little over 3 years running in Tunnel Hill, and like I said, it's not the most popular thing, and when you're with a group of people that were used to being very popular, sometimes you can miss those things. It's easy to see what others have, and so I just ask you to continue to remember us in prayer, that we would be encouraged, as also we need to do for y'all. And it's great to see y'all, and we'll just start off real quick. I was reading this, somebody had sent me an email, it said, two young businessmen in Florida were sitting down for a break in their soon-to-be new store in the shopping mall. As yet, the store wasn't ready, with only a few shelves and display racks set up. One said to the other, "I'll bet that any minute now, some senior is going to walk by, put his face to the window, and ask what we're selling." Sure enough, just a moment later, a curious senior gentleman walked up to the window, looked around intensely, and rapped on the glass, then in a loud voice asked, "What are you selling here?" One of the men replied sarcastically, "We're selling idiots." Without skipping a beat, the old timer said, "You must be doing well, there's only two left." So when it comes to seniors, you don't mess with them. They don't get old by being stupid. They sure don't. Oh, me. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Something that has been written a long time ago, that today the people that Paul was writing to, after knowing the truth, still needed a letter to write them to remember what they learned. And I believe we need the same thing. I believe one thing that if we're not careful, I know with myself, is I can get so caught up into getting deeper and deeper in the Word, which is very important for us to get on the meat and off of the milk. But the most important thing that we could do is never to shadow the things of the cross that are simple. And more than that, to remember that we are called to be ministers of reconciliation, and to understand that we have a responsibility to share the mystery of the revelation. And that's what I want to point out tonight more than anything else, maybe as a reminder through this week, that not only do we come and sit, but we have a major responsibility. Whether it's hard or not, it should be joyous, and we should see the fruits of it. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Now today we live in a world where bookstores, news, entertainers, athletes, teachers, philosophers, seminaries, schools, internet, parents, friends affect what the truth is, or affect what people come to believe. Would you agree? I mean, it's like if it says it, it must be true in today's society. And if you don't agree with what they believe, they say, "Well, that's your truth." And that's nothing but a lie. Denominations, religions, and cults have tons of control on what one believes today. And we need to understand, as we walk through this life, there are many that believe things just based on what other people say and not what the Word of God says. Some hold the very truth that we hold today and still deceive. Now, get what I'm saying? Some today hold the very truth of what we hold and still deceive many people in congregations Sunday after Sunday. In fact, I did it for 20 years and didn't have a clue. Was as sincere as I could be, but was clueless. Again, look at those two verses. It says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, I implore you, be ye followers of me. Now many will take the scripture that is here that we've just read and will say that Paul shared the same as all the others shared, even though he makes it personal. You'll notice what Paul says here. He says in this verse, be ye followers, not of us, not of all the others that came before me that followed Christ, but he says, be ye followers of me. He makes it extremely personal. Not to worship Paul. He lifts up the fact that he says, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. It's clear that these in Corinthians that he wrote this letter to, he considered them as saved individuals that had gotten it, because he also mentions the fact that he warns them as though they were his sons that shared the exact same faith. The faith of the mystery of the revelation. The faith of the gospel of Christ. But many will take it and say that Paul preached the same as all others, even though he makes it personal. And it's amazing when they bring it up to him, typically their answer is, oh. And that's it. Oh. Well, that's a mighty big oh. Here Paul is sharing with a group that had grasped this truth before the letter was ever written. They understood the gospel of Christ. Paul leaves, and they have surrounded themselves with things that shadowed the cross. The very thing that Paul came to them to begin with that changed their life with the message he had to share. It's a lot about like we are today if we're not careful with all the things that go on. I know of the things that I can put in front of myself that affects the responsibility I have as a believer. Go with me back a little bit to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's see what a little bit that Paul was up against. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. And here's this word again, beseech. I think Paul wants to get the message across. He says in verse 10 in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And in verse 11, he brings out what he's heard and why he's written the letter. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now let's remember what was around these people. Just as though what we talked about at the beginning, what was around us. What was around these people were philosophers. People that were very intelligent to the world in Athens. There were entertainers. There were Judaizers. There were idol worshipers. In other words, much that surrounds us today. Would you agree? How sad it is to know the truth, for salvation today and keep it as though it's still a hidden truth. Now understand what I'm saying, how sad it is to go through our regular, everyday, knowing the truth, knowing that there was a mystery that had been hidden that nobody knew before Paul, and to hold it as though it's still hidden today. We have a responsibility. We hold today a truth, hearing the truth of the revelation of the mystery, a mystery that has been revealed for over 2,000 years, but yet our congregations remain small, and our outreach, if we're not careful, remains small also. You hold in your hand a mystery that changes lives that was given to the Apostle Paul, that is over 2,000 years old, that is no longer a mystery, but many hold it as if it still is. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. Sometimes it's just good to start off with a good reminder, Brother Steve, of who we are. This mystery literally changes a person's life. It can change a person from the position of being unsaved to the position of being saved. From a position of one who has always thought themselves to be saved to being, I've heard countless of people that have realized they had just become saved when they received the revelation of the mystery. By the way, that's how all are saved. You have to understand the mystery. Not only do we hold this truth, we'll see another thing that we are to this truth after we read this in Ephesians. Ephesians 3:1. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear here. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation He made known unto me, there's the word, the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Notice it says, when ye read. It's important to study, to know, to read. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets, by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, in this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So it's clear, as a body of believers here tonight, we have a mystery that has been revealed, that was never revealed before until it was given to the Apostle Paul, by which today we hold that truth to which others are saved. To which others, not just yourself, can be saved. We hold that truth. Do we hold it as if it's still a mystery? As if it's still something that's hidden that we don't want to share? I hope not. Because not only do we hold this truth, we are the overseers of this truth. In 1 Corinthians, if you'll go back with me to chapter 4 and look at verse 1 and 2. It's not only enough to know it, it's enough to understand we have a responsibility that we are overseers of this, and it doesn't give any unless this happens or but if this happens. It's just clear we have a responsibility as a body of believers. It's the only way the mystery will be revealed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, the Word of God says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Are you found faithful? How is your accountability with this particular truth? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, the Word of God says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." See, the wisdom of the world, back in the days of Corinth, those who had grasped the truth, the wisdom of this world was what had brought on more contentions. And some of the contentions came from those who were over 10,000 other people who shared, many shared the name of Jesus, but they shared it wrong. See, the issue was not that people didn't have the Word. There were those who held Scripture but held it wrongly. There were those who would preach but would preach it wrongly. They would not be a good steward, would they? If all were to be saved, to have eternal life after what was given to Paul, and they weren't preaching what Paul had given, there had been a change. If you'll notice what we read at the beginning, he says, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." The problem was, is when Paul left, he wrote this letter back because they weren't of the same mind. They weren't following the pattern that he had given to be followers of him. And entertainers, people with a lot of knowledge of not what Paul had, were following things that were wrong. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, he says, the Apostle Paul says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in" what? In a mystery that you're accountable for because you know that ministry. You're a steward for that. He says, "In a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." See, there is a message, and sometimes it's not popular. Today, you'll find out if you share with a lot that are in leadership, leaders don't like it. People with power really don't care for this mystery. Churches that follow the law will tell you it's a cult. Great speakers will think it's crazy. But the mystery still needs to be preached because it's the truth. And you're the one that holds the truth. I'm reminded in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3:9. The Word of God says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." That's the foundation. The foundation that we have is the fact of the mystery of the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can't mix things in times past. You can't mix other things that people just like. That's not a foundation at all. That's building another foundation upon something that's not a foundation at all in this dispensation. As I thought about that, I thought about the people that say, well, I understand that, but I'm just going to still do this. Well, that's wood, hay, and stubble that'll be burned up. It's the issue of what you build on the foundation in the gospel of Christ. And it can only be found in those things that were from the mysteries of the revelation of Jesus Christ that you're a steward of, that we need to be accountable for, even though it may not be popular. It's not a foundation that we can decide, well, let's add this and let's take away this. It says the foundation is Jesus Christ. It's a foundation that can only be found in the Apostle Paul's letters. The rest is burned up. The only way possible to build is through Paul's epistles. People need to be informed. May not be popular, but will you inform them? Would you agree that that's what you're called to do? You're a steward. Don't forget the responsibilities. Don't forget. Because a lot of people are depending on it. They need people to stand for the truth regardless of circumstances. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your Word, for Your truth, for the clarity that we can see in the difference in Paul's letters that we know we can hold sound doctrine to because of the truth. We're reminded of what Your Word says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. How all will be saved. That You were the pattern. May we be reminded that we also, if we're followers of Paul, that we're to be stewards that are to be accountable, regardless of the cost. We know one day it'll be worth much more than anything we can gain here. We give You all the glory and all the praise in Your name. Amen.